Okay, greetings everybody. This is Brother James. Thanks for the saints that are with me. We're going to do a fellowship teaching today, hopefully to edify everyone who's here, everyone who'll listen in later, catch it online. Always thankful to be able to bring the Word of God to the precious saints that cherish His Word. Today, I think I have a good topic for you. Today, I want to focus on salt. You know, salt is an interesting topic. It's something that almost everybody, unless you really try to avoid it, something people use almost every day. I know I do. I really enjoy sea salt in my food, good, healthy sea salt. And so salt, it's a common thing today. But what I want to bring in this teaching is some facts and some questions. And one question would be, have you pondered the importance of salt, both in man's history, in the biblical times, and how it can apply to our lives? I think you're going to find some of these facts interesting as we go to God's Word and then we pull out the truth, always using good exegesis, exiting the truth, not eisegesis, not trying to get the Word of God to say what I want it to say. So we're going to use exegesis. We're going to get to the facts about salt and how it applies to us saints today. First, before we get to God's Word, let's look at some salt facts. All right, so salt, going way back in man's history, was kind of a rare commodity, highly desired, precious. It was valuable, and it was important for very good reasons, and we'll get to some of those reasons as we go on in the teaching. Salt is used and has been used throughout the ages to disinfect wounds and to soothe and to heal. We see in Israel, near Israel, there's a large sea called the Dead Sea. It's full of a high concentration of salt. And all through man's history, and even today, people that go on tourists go there, and doctors prescribe it for people to go and soak in this salt water for soothing and healing. So the Dead Sea is right there in Israel. So salt was meaningful to them, and we're going to get to the reasons why. The word, you find this interesting, the word salary comes from a word of ancient times, salarium. And what it really means is salary means salt money. That's where we get our word salary from. And it was a payment that they would give to the Roman soldiers so they could go and buy important things. And one of the important things they would buy was salt. It was a needed item. And so the word salary comes from the word salarium. It means salt money. I thought that was kind of interesting. Also, depending upon where you're from, some people still use terms like he's worth his salt. This puts a value on salt. It goes way back in history. It was like an item of gold today. It was traded for, bought, highly sought after. So just some facts about salt. Today, salt's really common to most of us, and salt was much rarer back then, harder to come by, had to be refined, and but it still had great value and purpose in the Bible days, even going way back before the Bible days. Salt was very, very important to man in its use. We're going to get to those uses. Let's look at God's Word and talk about some verses with salt. The most famous salt verse, I think, would be Jesus in Matthew 5, verse 13. He says this, "Ye are salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden down under foot of men." So there's a lot right there that we can get to. And we'll get back to that. We're going to look at some of the attributes of salt, and then we'll get back to that verse once we get some background to see why Jesus would say that. So going to the Old Testament, I wanted to look at some verses on salt. We see salt first mentioned in the account of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot and his wife are fleeing the city. She's warned not to look back. What happens? Genesis 19:26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So, wow, there you go. Salt there seems to reference death and judgment. And we know that God rained sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah. Some people say sulfur has salt-like traits, and it's backed up in God's word. Deuteronomy 29:23 says this, "And that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth there, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Adamar and Zodim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and his wrath." So salt, sulfur had to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. So in that reference, it looks like judgment and death. That's kind of a rare reference to salt there, but she turned into a pillar of salt. We don't know why she looked back. Was she lamenting? Was she sorrowful? We don't know, but she disobeyed and she looked back. As we move on here in the Old Testament, there's other verses that show us that God himself highly valued salt. It's interesting to think of that. As he instructed the priests when they did their offerings to him to use salt. Interesting. Leviticus 2, verse 13. "And every oblation of thy meat offering shall thou season with salt. Neither shall thy suffer the salt of thy covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt." So did you notice what it says there? It says season. We'll get back to that. Remember that. Salt has a characteristic of seasoning. Here's another Old Testament verse about salt. Numbers 18:19. This one kind of surprised me. Maybe it'll surprise you. "All the heave offerings of the holy things, which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord, have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a salute forever," or excuse me, "a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee." So I guess I've read it before, but it never really stuck with me. But I'm doing a teaching on salt, and this salt covenant jumped out. You might say, what is a salt covenant? Well, what it turns out is, it's only mentioned a few times in scriptures, God had priests that were doing his work. These priests didn't own any land. They weren't farmers. They weren't agrarian growing things. So they had to be provided for. So God made sure that the priests were provided for in food and spices and salt in the temple so they could do their work and they didn't have to worry about going out and working and doing other things. And this was known as a salt covenant that God was providing for them. So I thought that was kind of interesting. God using salt in reference to his covenant. This other fact is interesting too. Now, I can't really prove this from scripture, but history kind of tells us this, if you do a little history study. In ancient times, people would eat salt together as they made a covenant, because this was their way of saying, our agreement is going to last and preserve. Salt was known for lasting, and salt was known for preserving. That's what they used it for. And so people would do it as like symbolic. I thought that was kind of interesting as well. So we see the Lord using salt. We know his covenant. We're going to read a verse here with David. 2 Chronicles 13:5. "Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him, to his sons, by a covenant of salt." So we see that this covenant is everlasting. Christ is going to come through the bloodline of David. And so we know that this covenant and God's kingdom is going to last and endure on and on. So salt being a preserver, salt lasting, I think we can see the correlation there. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to see some correlation of what salt is, what it means in the Bible. And then we're going to get back to Jesus' words, why we are the salt. So salt lasted, it preserved things. God was saying my covenant with David would be an everlasting covenant. This next verse talks about the priests again. Ezra 6, verse 9. "And that which they need of, both young bullocks and rams and lambs, for burnt offerings of the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the appointment of the priests which are at Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail. So this is that salt covenant. God is providing for his priests, kind of like in correlation how God provides for us because we're his priests today through Christ, right? So he's providing for us in everything that we do. That's what that salt covenant was about. Important point, you may know this, maybe you don't, but salt, long before we had refrigeration, was its major use was for preservation of foods. And they didn't have refrigeration, so they would salt meat, they would salt all kinds of things. And today, we don't use salt for that kind of preservation, but salt and other types of sodium are used in foods for preservative as well. So salt still is being used for preservative, but not so much as it was in the past. I remember back in the 60s, I'm old, that's a long time ago, going to my grandma's house and she had a root cellar and you would go in the root cellar and she would have meat hanging up and it was rolled up in paper in salt. And she would slice a piece of ham off or a piece of beef off and then roll it back up in the salt and hang it. And that salt was preserving that meat, keeping it good, and making it last. So that's what they did in the old days. It wasn't that long ago. They were still doing it. It's a powerful tool. And here's another fact about salt. It affects everything around it. Think about that. So it's powerful. It preserves. And it affects everything around it. If you get salt on metal and leave it on there long enough, like salt in winter climates is put on the road and it makes cars rust, salt affects everything that it's around. So that's something for us to ponder as we're getting to the truth from God's word about salt. Now, this next verse, I found this interesting. I love the book of Job. Job 6, verse 6. So when you think of salt, you think of God using it in the temple, you think of them preserving things with it. I had to kind of chuckle when I read Job here because I'm thinking of Job like me in the morning putting sea salt on my eggs. Job 6:6. Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? So Sister Debbie makes me eggs and a lot of times, yeah, they taste good, but they're not a lot of taste in an egg, especially the white part. Well, you put some sea salt on it. All of a sudden, the taste just kind of really pops out. So I thought that was kind of neat that Job was referencing how he put salt on his food. And here, thousands of years later, we're using the same thing on our food. I really appreciate sea salt, good, healthy sea salt. Your body needs it in good, right amounts. So this next verse from the Old Testament is more instruction on priests using salt. Ezekiel 43:24. And thou shalt offer them before the Lord, and the priests shall cast salt upon them, and they shall offer them up for a burnt offering unto the Lord. So, wow, we really see the use of salt in the priesthood that was so important to God. He had them using the salt. It had great meaning. It was a preservative. It affected everything. It brought flavor and taste. So now let's get back to look at Jesus' words. From Matthew 5. Let me read it again. Ye are salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith salt shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden down under the foot of men. So if we believe, and we do, because Jesus said it, we're the salt of the earth. So think about all these qualities of salt. It preserves. It affects everything around it. It lasts. It's valuable to God. The priests were using it in their offering. This last part of that verse where it says it'll be cast out, trodden underfoot to men, it reminds me of John 15 where Jesus talks about the tree that doesn't produce fruit. It's hewn down and thrown in the fire. And so this saltiness that we're supposed to have, we have to have strong salt. We have to be salty, not watered down salt, not weak salt, but salty salt, strong salt, salt that does what it's made for. Otherwise, it's cast out and it is of no use whatsoever. So what does this reference really mean to us? How do we put this all together? Well, let's go and recap some of the traits that we see in salt. Jesus uses that as a example, like the bread, like the wine, like the Lamb of God. Many, many examples in Scripture. We know that salt was prized and valuable and important for life. We know that salt has the power to change everything around it and affects everything around it. We know that it was incorporated into God's ways for his priests. We know that God mentioned salt because it lasts in his covenant with David. We know that salt can cleanse, it can soothe, it can purify, it can heal. Yep, if you ever got any in a bad wound or any in your eyes, yeah, it can burn just like God's word. It can cut, it can burn, it opens you up when applied properly when you need to get a rebuke or correction. And I think the most important thing is we're listening to the words of Jesus about salt. I think salt overall, most important, is known as a preservative. They used it to preserve food. But think about that preserving quality if we're the salt of things that are going around us. Do we act as a preserving to preach the gospel to see people come to the knowledge and be saved? Are we standing as a light in the culture as the world's getting wicked and dark, but we're standing casting our salt of God? And do we not keep the remembrance of God? Are we not preserving the oracles of God? Are we not preserving the gospel of God by which people could come and be saved, come to the knowledge to last and endure via the gospel? Isn't that what we're doing as salt? I think it is. Mark 9:50 talks about salt. Mark 9:50. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. So again, salt is powerful, but here's an important point. It's got to be pure, all right? When you water it down, sometimes Sister Debbie will make me something I need and she'll put a little bit of salt in water and dilute it. You can hardly taste the salt. It's something you need, but you can hardly taste it. But if you have it in its purest form, it's strong and it's powerful. And to cut it too much, it loses its total effectiveness. So we're to be salty salt. And he said, if we lose our saltiness, what does that mean? Well, I believe that means if we lose the truth of God, if we lose the dedication of God, if we don't preach the biblical gospel, if we don't shine our light, salt and light go together, right? I'll be doing a teaching about light next. How are we going to affect everybody around us if our salt has lost its saltiness, if it doesn't have the power to change, if it doesn't affect, if it can't have the truth to preserve and draw people in to be saved by Christ? This reminds me of churchianity, right? They preach a form of a gospel, but you know what? It's so watered down, it's so tampered with, it no longer can preserve, it can't save, it doesn't affect. It doesn't even burn and cut people the truth that they need to hear. Yeah, they put enough on just to make it taste good and feel good. But that's not being salt that is preaching the truth of God for people to come to the saving knowledge. People need to hear the truth. Fake salt is worthless to be cast out. And that's what the scripture really should have great meaning for us. That salt must be powerful, must be pure. It's going to do its job. And I think that's what we can take from the words of Jesus. We're valued. We have great worth as his people. We're priests unto God. We're using salt in this covenant because we are salt. We have the power to change things, both our lives. Remember, Paul says some people will have the appearance of godliness and deny the power of God. Well, we have the gospel. We've seen the power of the change in our lives, and we have the gospel and have the power to preach it and change other people's lives. The gospel is good news. It seasons people's lives around us. It can redeem them, preserve and save them. That's glorious. Yeah, and it can cut and burn them, no doubt. They get angry, but that sometimes they need that. And this is all for God's kingdom and his glory and his purpose, that we be the salty salt, that we go out and change, that we go out and preserve, that we go out and shine his light and show people, here's where you can come to turn from the darkness of the world and find great joy, peace, redemption, grace, mercy in our glorious Savior. This is what salt, spiritual salt, is supposed to do. So I think it's pretty amazing what we can learn from a simple thing like salt when we apply it to God's word. I have another verse for you, James 3:12. This kind of backs up what I was saying about salt, how it changes everything around it. James 3:12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Neither a vine figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? So think about that. So you got a fresh water flowing. You can't mix salt with it, otherwise it's salt water. So we have to be careful what we mix into our saltiness for Christ. Water it down. You know, this brings me a good example. I guess I'll share with it right here. I always get people telling me, if you preach it that way, people don't like it. If you say it like that, it's going to turn people away. Even though, is it truthful? They go, well, yeah. Is it unloving? Well, no, you're not being unloving. But you got to make it so that people can take it and apply it and like it to their flesh. Otherwise, you're going to scare them away. That's losing your saltiness. Do we purposely try to offend people? Never. Do we purposely try to drive people away? Never. What we do is we preach the gospel, shine our light, cast our salt, powerful, preserving salt. And we don't water it down because people need to come to that. And they need to see the power of it and the truth of it. When we water it down, Jesus told us, it's worthless. It's pointless. It's ready to be cast out. So we see churchianity doing that. They water down their salt so much that everybody comes and partakes of it. But it doesn't change. It doesn't preserve. It doesn't do what God intended it to do. So I think this info on salt, as I studied this out and share it with you, helps us to see that we're to live in a powerful way in the culture. We affect everyone around us for good or bad. Yep, people love it or people get angry. That's okay. Happened with Jesus, happened with all the disciples. And as we live our life as a light, preaching the gospel, living the gospel, we are not weak salt. We're powerful, strong salt with the ability to change lives. We're not watered down. Preserve men for the kingdom of God, if they'll come and run to Christ. And we do all this for the glory of God because he's called us the salt of the earth. So we're serving him first, loving him most, Matthew 22, loving our neighbor next as ourselves. So we preach the biblical gospel. By faith you come to Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. You repent, come out of the world and come out of your false churchianity ways, come out of your flesh. God sees a willing vessel. He gives you a new heart, a new mind. You're born again. And holiness and obedience marks God's people. That's how we live, being the salt of the earth, holiness and obedience. And we have to endure, right? We learned that salt is a preserver. It endures. It lasts. That's why they used it as a marker for covenants and for agreements with each other. So salt, think about it, has all these wonderful characteristics. Let's make sure as saints of God, we have the biblical salty salt characteristics going on in our life, and we're not watering them down for the favor of men. Last scripture verse I have for you, Colossians 4:6. This tells us, I like this verse, how we should season ourselves with, let your speech always be always with grace, season with salt, there's that word, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. Season our speech with salt. That doesn't mean everything you say people are going to like. No, not everything Jesus said people like. Most of what he said they didn't like in the end. What it means is speak the truth in love. Be a light. Be that salt that's going to call them to change, could preserve them, can soothe them, can heal them. Yeah, it might cut them too if they want to stay in their sin. So that's what this is telling us to do, is use salt, the salt of God. And we need to be salty Christians, salty saints. I kind of like that. Salty saints is what we need to be, and that's what God calls us to. So salt, what a great topic to ponder. I hope next time you grab your salt shaker and you season your food, I hope you don't take it for granted. I hope you kind of think, sit back and go to these other scriptures. There's more scriptures about salt in the Bible. And go ponder what it means to be the salt of the earth, as Jesus said we are. What it means to have salt that ain't worth nothing. It's to be trod down, thrown out. It's useless. And what that salt does in our life via the gospel and how we serve God. Again, recap, seasoning, preserving, soothing, purifying, healing. Yeah, sometimes it brings a burn. It needs that. Affecting everything around us for the kingdom of God. So that's my edification for you today, saints. Be salty saints. This dying world, look at the culture. It's dying. Corruption, perversion, heresy everywhere. It needs saints that live and preach and show and point to the saltiness of God's word. Yeah, it hurts. It hurt me when I first came to it. The Bible says the gospel is an offense. That's the salt. It has to offend you, and then you see your great need to come running to the Savior through repentance. So I challenge you to be salty saints to a dying world out there. Live the gospel, preach the gospel, share the gospel, and then let God's Spirit do its work. So I hope that's edified you today. Some thoughts on being salty saints, salt from God's word. Let us take that and let it season our walk in Christ. Thanks for everybody who's been listening today. We love you all. Make sure you check out our resources, don'tperish.com, articles, audios, videos, sisters' blogs. We're there to love our God by proclaiming the truth, love our neighbor, and help other saints disciple them in the truth of God. And one of those truths is, strive to be a salty saint. I like that. I think I'm going to start using that in my vocabulary. Be a salty saint. Don't be watered down for this glorious Savior. Hey, we love you all. Till next time, let us know how we can help you in the faith. May God be praised.